Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
We're moving on now because there's been controversy over a pro-IRA chant during the victory celebrations in the dressing room of the Irish women's football team, which have somewhat overshadowed their huge achievement in reaching the World Cup finals. Later in the programme, I'm going to be getting a unionist perspective on the issue, and we're going to be speaking to the author of that controversial song. But first, Fergal Keane has an update on what this is all about. And Fergal, qualifying, of course, and we'll start with that because it's a huge achievement.
And it's the first time ever for the Irish women's team. And here is the moment that we relive it when Donegal woman Amber Barrish scored deep in the second half to put Ireland through, as described by George Hamilton.
Now it's O'Sullivan, and there's the run of Barrett, and Barrett's given herself a chance here. Amber Barrett in on goal. Amber Barrett makes the breakthrough. That was sheer brilliance from Amber Barrett. The first touch to take her clear was absolutely terrific. And Amber Barrett kneels in celebration in honour of the Donegal folk who passed away in the disaster in Chrysler. What a moment.
Now, here's the clip of the celebrations in the dressing room afterwards that somebody put out on social media. Now, that immediately offended very many people because it went viral on social media straight away. The FAI apologised for it this morning, but it was put to squad member Chloe Mustaki in an interview with Sky Sports earlier today.
Would you like to apologise?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we're all really sorry here in Dublin. Obviously, massive lapse in judgment on our end. Lots going on when the final whistle went, and we absolutely didn't mean to cause any hurt on our end. So we do really apologise for that, absolutely.
I guess it raises the question, does it highlight the need for education on issues like this? Is that something you'd be for?
I don't really think so. I think, you know, we need to learn in these moments to be better and to do better. We've all been brought up knowing a lot about, you know, Irish history. So, we just need to be better in moments like this. And we recognise that absolutely on our end.
Now, that apology was later then repeated earlier this morning by Irish manager Vera Powell. She said the hallmark of her squad and of all their preparations was that they showed respect to everybody and that they had failed in that foundation of their whole preparation with this chant.
It came to our attention that there was a video put on social media that had deeply hurt people. And the values that we carry is that we have respect for everybody. So we're sincerely deeply sorry for what happened. And it doesn't matter if the players meant anything or not, because they didn't mean anything with it, because if it's the celebrations and that then occurs. But that doesn't mean that they should not be not realizing what they are doing.
There's been political reaction too.
Yeah, quite a bit of it. Politicians have been speaking out on this today when asked if Minister for Foreign Affairs Simon Coveney said that what happened shouldn't have happened. But Sinn Féin leader in Northern Ireland, Michelle O'Neill, said it was now time to move on.
OK, so I haven't seen any of the footage. I did see some of the match. I want to congratulate the girls on a fantastic win and getting to the World Cup. I also think it's particularly poignant that Amber Barrett, whose family relations are caught up in Creaselock and obviously the catastrophe that is there. I thought the fact that she offered up the match win for the people of Creaselock was very, very poignant. I note that the FA have made a statement on it. I think that last night was a fantastic win for the girls. I think the FAA and the girls themselves have dealt with it in the media, and I think that it was really, really poignant the fact that Amber did offer up the match for the people of Creaselock, and I think we should leave it at that.
Yeah, and that was Michelle O'Neill, and her commentary there was criticised by former First Minister Arlene Foster, who put out a tweet this afternoon saying, right, so nothing to see here. But the UUP leader, Doug Beattie, he said the team had let themselves down.
I think they have let themselves down by this video. I think it is absolutely awful to sing Ooh-Ah Up the Ra. They need to understand that many of their supporters, or some of their supporters, may have lost loved ones due to the murderous actions of the IRA. So it was poor. An apology is the least that they can do.
And that was Doug Beattie there. Fergal Keane, thank you very much. We will be returning to this issue, as I said, after 5 o'clock. Let us know what you think. 51551. Now, as we heard earlier, Vera Powell and the FAI have apologised after footage emerged of the Irish players singing an IRA chant shortly after last night's historic victory in Glasgow. The players can be seen and heard chanting the chorus of the Wolfe-tone song Celtic Symphony, Ooh Ah Up the Ra. Ireland manager Vera Powell says there are no excuses for the actions of the players. The song, Celtic Symphony, was written by Brian Warfield of the Wolfe-tones in 1987 for the centennial of Celtic Football Club, and he joins us now from London. We're also joined now by Ben Lowry, editor of the Unionist newspaper, The Newsletter, and you're both very welcome to the programme this afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us. Brian, I'll come to yourself first, and as I said, I know you're in London at the moment, you're visiting family, but you're still, I understand, aware of the controversy that this has caused, the singing of the chorus of Celtic Symphony by members of the Irish team, and Vera Powell saying there are no excuses for the actions of the players. What's your reaction?
Well, my reaction is very sad to hear this. And, you know, it's terrible to see that young kids that done so well and done so well for Ireland in achieving the World Cup in 2023, that they're being persecuted and bullied because they sang a song that they liked. Now, I can understand that people don't like the song, but that's fine. I don't like every song I hear either, but... The Celtic Symphony is a great song. It's a football song, and it does contain a chant, as it became. It didn't start off like that, by the way. Mm. I wrote it way back in 1984, I think I started it. And going to Glasgow, I wanted to understand the Glaswegian Irish who, you know, the diaspora that was sent across the world, but especially in Glasgow, was studying it at the time. And I'm walking through Glasgow and I see this graffiti on the wall. And the graffiti on the wall says, it says, up the Celts, up the Celts. It says, we're magic, Celtic, 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 all that kind of thing. And then there's another one, Ooh Ah Up the Ra. Now, you've got to understand the persecution that Ireland went through over the years. And the diaspora in Glasgow is very much the result of that. Now, they have supported Ireland in every way they could throughout the ages, going back to famine times and before. Mm. And, you know, to say, you know, the heroes of Ireland are the men of 1960 and the IRA, who I'm very proud of, and they fought gallantly to achieve freedom from, you know, the oppression that was against Ireland for many centuries. Now, they are my heroes. I didn't specify one way or the other what... Did I say provisional IRA? Did I say official IRA? Did I say... I didn't say IRA at all. Mm. I just said Ooh Up the Ra, which could be an Egyptian god.
Okay.
No, you've heard of that, didn't you? But, you know...
And that's where you're coming from. I think you're going to mention the Unionist politicians. Actually, I might mention a couple of what they've... notes of what they've said today or comments that they've made today in relation to it, because I know you're saying that's where you're coming from. You think it's a football song, you think it's commemorating your heroes, but very many people have said today that they find it extremely hurtful and extremely offensive. Austin Stack, whose father, the prison officer Brian Stack, was killed by the IRA in 1983, he said to victims of the IRA, like my family, these scenes, that's the scenes of the girl singing the song, those scenes are horrible reminders of how we lost our dad. What's your reaction to that, for example?
Well, I just reacted in this way. You know, we have to suffer, and we've seen what happened in Derry with the paratroopers, and we've seen that the head of the paratroopers and the whatever he is, lieutenant or whatever, is Charles III. Now, we have to listen whether we like it or not. We hear it on the terraces. I hear it on the terraces when they go away, England play away or play at home, and they sing God Save the Queen or God Save the Queen. Now, I don't like that. But I have to suffer. I don't complain. I'm not a cranky person. But it seems like the Unionist politicians are cranky. They crank about everything that is nationalist. Mm. They don't care about how we think about things. They only care about how they think about things. So it's important to me that we understand each other, that I am an Irish rebel.
You know, I think there will be lots of people in Ireland who might find some of the things that you've mentioned there hurtful and offensive.
Yeah, but then they're not really Irish.
No, the things that you're talking about, for example, Irish. The paratroopers, I think lots of people would find that hurtful and offensive in the same way lots of Irish people find the wearing of the poppy hurtful and offensive. But is your answer to that we should be allowed to be hurtful and offensive to our neighbours, our families, our friends living on this island?
Not hurtful. Well,
people are telling us it is, though.
Yeah, but I'm telling you it's not.
Well, it's not hurtful to you, but do you care that it's hurtful to others?
But I've never heard anybody complain, apart from unionist politicians, that it's hurtful to them.
Well, Austin Stack is not a unionist politician.
Who's that?
Austin Stack. His quote I read to you today, his father was a prison officer killed by the IRA in 1983.
Sure, and there's many people up there that were killed by the... what they call the security forces. And they were killed up there, and it's hurtful to see them getting medals and being called Sir this and Sir that when they come back from Ireland and get promoted into great big jobs. And they get huge medals and everything else and accolades for the killing they did in Ireland. So, I mean, it cuts both ways. If you want to kill people in a country and you don't want them to fight back, which they did fight back, and kill other people... It was a war going back through the years. It's a long struggle from Ireland. Nobody can take the good side of this and say, I'm better than you. You shouldn't do this. No, you shouldn't sing that.
But we can all choose, can't we, to not continue to hurt other people. You wrote this song in 1987. An awful lot has changed on this island since you wrote the song, Brian. And just last December, the comedian Patrick Keelty, his father murdered by the UDA, he made a speech earlier this week at the Shared Island Forum. And let's just take a listen to one point he made.
The ghosts of the past are easy to honour. It's way easier to sing a rebel song about a united Ireland than decide not to sing it in order to maybe have one.
What do you think of that, Brian? That maybe it's time to put the past in the past and make the decision not to sing the songs in an effort to move forward.
Yeah, we better get rid of all the historians. They shouldn't tell a story. All historians should go. We should wipe out the past. We should wipe out all our song tradition, have no song tradition anymore, wipe out all the people. The last time I was in this controversy was about when the Limerick hurling team went back and sang Sean South of Gary Owen. I mean, come on, it's a song. It's a historic song. And so is a Celtic Symphony. It's celebrating the connection between the Irish diaspora in Glasgow and Ireland. Now, the unionist politicians, I know what they are. They want a union with Britain, and that's fine by me. I'm not going to cut them out. I'm not going to stop them singing God Save the King or Queen.
Let's hear from the unionists then. We've Ben Lowry on the line. Ben Lowry of the unionist newspaper, the newsletter. And thank you, Ben, for staying on the line for us. What do you make of what Brian has to say?
Well, just to start by saying, I'm actually in England as well. I'm in Leeds for work, but I'm staying in close contact with how we're covering this and how unionists are reacting to it. Brian talked about sadness, and I think it's sadness the other way. I think that there's no doubt that Ua Up the Ra is seen as a chant of support for the provisional IRA. And this is something that's been happening a lot it's happening more and more with young people, and young people get boisterous and sing songs, and that's just the way it is. That's one thing. This is different. This is players, women players, Republic of Ireland, and that's particularly poignant because the Northern Ireland women's team is something that has had a big renaissance, and there's been a lot of support for it, and it has a mixed playership in terms of background, as indeed the Northern Ireland men's team. It wasn't called the men's team, but the Northern Ireland men's team that in 1982 and 1986, which qualified for the World Cup, which was very exciting when the Troubles was ongoing. It was famously mixed. Some of the most famous and best players were of Ulster Catholic background. And the thought that there would ever have been singing by players of a UVF, some sort of UVF chant, which would have been grotesque and terrible. And the Northern Ireland team now to be doing that, which would be seen as grotesque and terrible. So there is this increasing singing of Ooga up the Ra, and this is a moving on to a new territory. And I think that the reaction from unionist politicians, and as you say, it's not just unionist politicians, it's victims group. Edward O'Neill, who's written for us several times, he's actually... father was killed in the appalling loyalist bombs in Dublin and Monaghan almost 50 years ago. His dismay at this, which is people like Edward and Austin Stack.
But Ben, what do you make of Brian's point, though?
Perceiving this as support for IRA terrorism, and these are all people and all unionists who would call it terrorism.
Brian has made it quite clear that that's not what he meant it as when he wrote it. He's made it quite clear where he was coming from when he wrote it, that it's a rebel song and that it's part of our history.
I'm sorry to say that I don't think Brian made clear what he was saying there. I thought he started off by saying that he hadn't specified what Ra it was, and then was talking in terms of a right to fight back and parachute regiment and so on and so forth. And again, you're asking from a unionist perspective, and the unionist perspective would be that this is trying to draw a continuation from a very different IRA that had much greater support a century ago. From an IRA. And also one thing that I think unionists who study things closely would draw great comfort from is that when Sinn Féin, to be blunt, started to contest the elections on both sides of the border from the 1980s, and obviously Sinn Féin does defend the latter IRA campaign and did defend the IRA campaign back then in the 1980s, it got between 1 and 4% of the vote in the Republic of Ireland
If we could just stick with what we're talking about today, Ben.
People are really pleased in Northern Ireland that they didn't draw support.
All right.
When they supported the IRA campaign.
But again, to Brian's point, that there are many things that are done by both the unionist population and indeed the British population. For example, the wearing of the poppy that Irish people can, some Irish people, find very offensive and very hurtful. And there's no quarter taken of that in the British or the unionist population.
I think that this analogy is wrong. I think it's not only wrong, I think it's disturbing. I mean, for example, Brian was talking about singing God Save the Queen and finding that, God Save the King, as it now would be, finding that objectionable. Of course, some people don't like that, but the analogy for that is the soldier song. Some people do find the sentiment offensive, but it is the anthem of the Republic of Ireland. Therefore, when it is played at events, people stand up for it. That is the analogy. With a poppy. There would be other analogies with a poppy, but this is a different thing. And I think that the better analogy with this is with loyalist terrorism. And remember, you know, I mean, it's perilous to get into numbers games, but the great bulk, 60% of terrorism in Northern Ireland was carried out by Republican terrorists, and a terrible amount was carried out. 30% of the overall killings were by loyalist terrorists. So the IRA did cause an awful lot of wounds and hurt in Northern Ireland, and to see this happening in a younger generation, I think the main reaction to it is one of sadness.
Back to yourself, Brian.
I could not agree with that analogy at all. The way you're putting yourself as a good guy, the unionist population as a good people, you must be joking about it. I mean, if you think about the Shankill butchers, if you think about all the awful things that happened to the Catholic community from the time of partition right up to the present day, and where, I got to tell you something, this is not the first time that an Irish song has been banned. England and the English regime in Ireland has banned songs from the beginning of time. Cromwell even wouldn't allow the harpers across. He sent them all to hell at the Connaught, but he didn't allow them to take their harps with them. Mm. Last century, you're talking about 1867, Anna Larkin and O'Brien. There was a song out called God Save Ireland. Now, to hold a copy of that song, just to have a copy in their house, was an offence. Why are they
nobody is talking about making this an offence, Brian, today. What we're asking, I suppose, or talking
I'm
about,
sure.
is whether or not it's appropriate or fair or hurtful or offensive for that song to be sung by the Irish national women's soccer team or anyone else in celebration, when it is very many people think it's glorification of the IRA.
I can tell you that song was the number one in France. There's no kid in England, Scotland or Wales or Ireland that doesn't know that song. It's a huge hit all over the world. I can tell you that in America, in Canada. And, you know, nobody takes it as a terrorist song. The only people that take it as a kind of an offensive song are the unionist population.
Well, we've already established that's not the case. You know, there are
are people who side on that side. I have an opinion in that way, but I don't. And a lot of other people don't either. So, I mean, it's your perspective, the way you're looking at life.
All right.
And to put a football song and a song with one chant or whatever you call it, one piece of the song that you don't like, that you're going to put the whole song away as an offensive song because I don't like it or you don't like it. I can tell you that millions of people do like it.
All right.
And, you know...
Brian, we're going to leave it there for this evening. You've made your case, and so has Ben. I'm interested to hear what listeners have to say to 51551. Brian Warfield, Ben Lowry, thank you both for joining us.